Hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Sure at AC podcast, the show about anything and everything. This is Lucas, and let's see what topics we can get into today. We're talking about movies, songs, video games, board games, food, books, personality traits, animals, history, anything and everything you can think of. So sit back, relax, because we're just having a good time. Have you ever worn a Halloween costume that was so specific, so detailed, so amazing that people are just astonished by your costume? Well, now picture someone cosplaying a character. Today we're talking a little bit about the art of cosplaying and that it is more than just a costume. I have someone with me that dabbles in cosplay himself, and you have heard from him before on the podcast, and that is Joey. How are you doing today, Joey?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me back.
Good, and people can actually see you. What?
I know, I'm here. It's a video.
Whoop, whoop.
You're moving up in the world.
I know, right? I'm moving up. Great. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Man, life has just been crazy this past couple months.
Yeah. Indeed, it has.
I'm glad that it's finally slowed down. I'm done with theater. I'm done with all the shows and everything. So, I mean, of course, were done.
You're done. Yeah. I'm not.
Well, you were done before me, but now you actually have a job. That is that.
Yeah, now my job is kicked in, and I'm like, well, back into it.
Yeah, well, hopefully it slows down. I mean, because life is life, but I'm glad that it's slowed down a little bit, take some time. I mean, I love theater and everything, but it just, as you know, it absorbs life, right?
Yeah, you don't get a free time.
No.
Ever.
No. 3 months. 3 months of no, of no life. Anyway, so cosplaying.
Yes.
I guess kind of the first question that we should ask ourselves is, what is cosplaying? Like, do you yourself have a definition?
The way I like to think about cosplaying, it's you get to express your own idea and creations into a costume and into this character. Some people take it a much further step than I do. I enjoy just getting to build the costumes and just getting to go out and show it off and see what other people make. But I've got friends in the cosplaying community who will have this original character and they have this amazing backstory that they've like physically written out. And this one guy specifically, would get like, I would say maybe above average sized index cards, and he would print a summarization of his character. And whenever you talk to him at a con, he would hand that to you. So you get to read it in your free time. And it's the backstory of his character and how his character came to be this person, this whatever he is. When I met him, he was cosplaying as a Mandalorian, a custom Mandalorian, which he had a fantastic kit. It was so cool. Full metal too, not 3D printed like Mandalorian cosplays you see. He said it's been taking him about 2 years to make last time I spoke to him. But back to the question, cosplaying, you really get to create this costume, this character, and you get to express your own creativity physically, and it's a lot of fun. Honestly, it's a fun, tough journey. You'll hit a lot of roadblocks, but your finished product it just leaves you with a good feeling inside.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's cool. I mean, you know, it's expressing yourself. I mean, it's the practice of, you know, I guess in a sense of dressing up as characters from like books, movies, comic books, video games, stuff like that. And so, you know, you have to have a type of affection or a type of love for the character that you're portraying.
Yes.
I mean, you can't just be all like, oh, I don't really care about this person or this character, but I'm dressing up as this character. I mean, I guess it's kind of the same thing for Halloween costumes, I guess. It's just like you like the character, and so you want to be that character, and so you dress up as that character.
Exactly, yeah. Whatever.
So, well, yeah, I mean, there's just so much that can go into it. So how long have you been doing it for?
Well, it started out back when I was in high school. I want to say my junior year of high school. My theater department was doing a haunted house, haunted theater type of deal. And me and a couple of my friends were in charge of the whole thing. And so it was student led. And we all decided, hey, rather than going out and buying cheap looking Halloween costumes, we're going to try to create our own costumes for everybody in our theater department or everyone who volunteered and auditioned to be in the haunted theater. And so me and Reed, who has also been on the podcast, he was in the one, I think, where we just talked about the Republic versus Separatist.
Yeah. Yeah. Separatist versus. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We decided once we put everybody in their specific places in their rooms where they can like reside in, that left me and Reed to figure out what we wanted to do. Cause we put everybody else in a room. Everybody had their job. We forgot about ourselves. And we're like, you know what? We're in charge of this. We just get to free roam and scary to be, if we're going to free roam. And so we made everybody's costumes and it got back down to ourselves. And now we're like, well, crap, what are we going to do now? What are we going to make for ourselves? And we were at Reed's house and he found this really old flannel in his room. I think it was like from an uncle or something. It was like a hand-me-down or something like that. And it was definitely worn as a work shirt because there was like wood stain on it and oil and grease. And he just started ripping it up a little bit, giving it rips. And then he puts it on over a long sleeve black t-shirt. I'm like, okay, that's a pretty good start. You know, keep in mind, we're in high school. We didn't have the same creativity levels that we do nowadays.
Yeah.
Back then we were like, dude, that's freaking cool. That's awesome. Freaking out over five rips in a shirt. And so, yeah, it's pretty stupid. But and he's like, now what are we going to do about our faces? And I said, I don't know. So I went home that day and I had this leftover fabric, burlap fabric and t-shirt fabric in my room. And I just start putting it together, making this rough mask. It kind of looked like Cillian Murphy's scarecrow mask from the Batman Begins movie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, we're onto something here. And I flip it inside out, started putting cardboard on the inside and cutting it out. So I had some structure to the front face part of the mask. And I stitched in some burlap thread and I had my scarecrow mask and I did that with him. And that was my first costume I made my junior year of high school. So after this really long rabbit hole of a story, I can say it's been about 5 years that I've been cosplaying, 5 or 6 years. So 5 years.
Dang. I mean, hey, you have a story of how to start. Like that's half the battle right there. I mean, it wasn't just like I guess it was kind of the sense of you being like, well, we can make our own stuff. But you weren't like off being like, I'm going to be a cosplayer. I was like, let's just make our own stuff.
That was not my intentions at all.
Yeah.
I can kind of say that was my first cosplay that I made, but I didn't call it a cosplay. It was just a Halloween costume I had. The following year, leading up towards the next year, Reed had told me about Branson Con, which is our local convention that we had before quarantine. And he was like, I've got 2 tickets to go this weekend if you want to go. I'm like, I can't do the first day, but I can do the last two. He was like, cool. You want to dress up? I was like, yeah, but I have no idea what we're going to do. He's like, neither do I. And so it gets to fast forward to the week of Branson Con. It's this weekend and I've got maybe like 3 or 4 days. I'm like, dude, I want to dress up, but I don't have anything. And he goes, you still have your mask? I was like, I think so. And so I bust out the mask and the t-shirt that I destroyed or the flannel shirt I destroyed. And we were like, what can we do with this? And I was like, I mean, I could probably try to throw together this crappy looking scarecrow glove from like based off of Arkham Knight. And I was like, he was like, okay, we can try that. He made his, I made mine. And sure enough, we were like, why not? It's really cheap. It looks cool to us. So
yeah,
looking back on it now, yikes. Compared to the one that I've upgraded since then, yikes.
I must say, do you even have that one anymore?
No, it has been torn apart. The only thing I still have from that original glove is the actual glove itself.
Oh, you got rid of everything else. Because didn't I see the original one gone. At some point in time?
At some point, you probably saw a picture of it.
Okay.
But yeah, I haven't had that. The tubing I had that led to where the fear toxin was just a stick of hot glue that I had melted to the glove. I put this little cardboard piece on top of my palm, made it look like there was tubing running down the finger to these needles on my fingers. And it was just hot glue strands, just really thick hot glue leading to the needles. And the hot glue stick went up my long sleeve.
Oh my gosh.
It was real cringy. Looking back on it, I have not thought about this costume in a long time.
Well, hey, so, you only had 4 days to do it.
Exactly. I mean, just a few days to do it.
And it was your first time.
It turned out all right. My skills have definitely grown since then. But I can honestly say it was not a terrible place to start. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Thinking back on it.
So your first one was kind of a, excuse me, it was kind of a fast scarecrow, and you have officially actually made a scarecrow. I can see it. Yeah, the mask right there. Yeah. Yeah. So was that your second cosplay that you kind of improved from that, or did you try something else and then went to scarecrow again?
Well, at the time, The Mandalorian had just come out. I was a big Star Wars nerd, but I was like, what's this Mandalorian thing? I don't know. I don't want to watch it. I don't care for it.
What?
Big mistake. I did not want anything to do with The Mandalorian when it first came out because I thought that it looked stupid.
I remember now because I was like, dude, have you watched The Mandalorian yet? And you were like, no, I haven't. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm hurt by that.
Yeah.
But
now The Mandalorian's my favorite thing. It's okay. Now The Mandalorian's my favorite. But
of course.
Yeah. Anyways, this scarecrow mask up there, that's actually the third mask I made. But it was the second concept/costume that I was making. I didn't have any set blueprints. I did not have a set idea. All that I knew at the time was I like this idea. How can I build from it? And so I started looking at some reference photos from Scarecrow from the Arkham Knight video game. I started looking at, let me just tell you, if you're getting into cosplaying, Pinterest will save your life. Pinterest will save your life. But anyways, I was looking at all these reference photos, looking at all these source materials, and I was like, all right, first step, we're going to try to make a mask. And so I bought this mannequin head off of Amazon, just a cheap styrofoam one. And I went to my local art supply store. At the time, it was Michael's. We didn't have our Hobby Lobby up here yet. And so I went and got, I want to say, 2 or 3 yards of burlap fabric and 2 things of Mod Podge and a really big paintbrush. And I started sculpting it straight to this styrofoam head. And I'm pretty sure I got the whole thing made in just a couple of nights, working for just a few hours each night because I was still in high school. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to work on it. And so those few nights go by, I get this second mask made and I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And I started painting it, detailing it, got all that done in just a couple of hours. And whenever I finally was able to put it on, I couldn't even get it on my head because I didn't even think this styrofoam head is like this big in my head is massive. I didn't even think about sizing it correctly. And so I was snap. I've hit this roadblock. And in cosplaying, you hit a lot of roadblocks. And you just gotta wait. Take a step back and breathe and just wait. So I hop back onto Amazon. And I'm looking for a mannequin head. I don't find any. Reed's dad works at a pharmacy, and they had these old mannequin heads in a storage room for something they had like 10 years ago. I don't know why. I didn't question it. And he was like, these are pretty close sizing to my head. You could probably see how it is to yours. He gave me one of them, and it was just like barely smaller than my head. So I was like, okay, I can fix this. It's nothing. Three rolls of duct tape later, it's the same size as my head.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Which there are a lot more simpler ways to do that.
I bet there was like $50 worth of duct tape there.
Yeah. Oh, it was expensive.
Yeah.
And there's a lot. There was an easier way to do that. Do I know what that way is? No. I do not.
Nope. No, but hey, it worked for what it was.
I don't care about it. Oh yeah.
And you have it now, probably. Do you still have it to this day? Oh, you don't have it?
No, not that second mask.
Oh no, I meant the head that you duct taped.
Oh no, no, the duct tape isn't on there anymore. But it's that same head that the mask is currently sitting on.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, you can. I think it's that one. I've got like four of these heads now. They're all over my room, but
mannequin I finally heads, get sized mannequin and. Heads.
Mannequin heads, not human. And so I get it sized correctly. I go get more burlap and more Mod Podge and a new paintbrush because I didn't rinse out the other one. And so it's the same process.
Typical.
All over again. And then, yeah. Only this time I did something different. I was like, I kind of want to base the mask facial-wise more off of the Arkham Knight one. Because if you've ever played that game, it's very like skeletal structured and then covered in some type of fabric. And I was like, I kind of like that skull idea. It's very, very creepy, very scary. And so I get a couple packs of Model Magic, and one of them is just a practice one so I can try to sculpt these massive cheekbones and this nose that are going to sit on top of my cheekbones and nose. And then this real prominent chin and jaw, and then these big, mean, angry-looking eyebrows. And sure enough, the practice one was it right from the get-go, and I had sculpted it straight to that head, and I was like, well, shoot. All right, I guess we're going to use this one. And to this day, it is still there. But nailed it on unfortunately, the first try. First try, well, yeah.
Third try. Well,
third try.
But... third try, but the first try of the third try.
Third try, but first time on the third try. But I actually, this is a little sidetracked note. I noticed the other day I was rearranging all my shelves over there because it looked just really cluttered. And it's cluttered still, but that's because I've got a lot of stuff over there. But I was moving these masks around, and I had noticed that Model Magic I used is deteriorating underneath the mask. So I'm losing the structure. So I have to make a new mask, unfortunately. And I've had this one for 3 years, 4 years.
Well, you know, maybe you can keep that one and it's just a reminder.
Oh, it's a memento. It's a memento for sure. I'm never going to get rid of that.
Yeah, you could definitely preserve it. Yeah.
Out of all of these massive builds that I've done, all these crazy projects, that's the first one. So it's going to be in my life for as long as I can have it.
There's always a connection to the first one. So
exactly.
So what about the others that you've done? So talk to us a little bit about the others, and then we can kind of talk about, we'll just talk about some of the others that you've done.
Okay. Right now, I've got a couple of projects that I'm working on, and then I've got this really big group project for hopefully the not too distant future, but kind of distant future. I have tried to do Spider-Man before, but
you can
I got
see it
bored
there.
Of it. And yeah, that's that Spider-Man mask up there. You can. I'm not hating any Spider-Man cosplayers out there, but there's just a lot of them, and so I was like, yeah, I don't really feel the need to do it.
And latex.
At the time, that mask is latex. If you want a good mask, it's not going to be comfortable for a Spider-Man cosplay.
Yeah,
unless you spend hundreds of dollars. Yeah, unless you spend like hundreds of dollars on this really nice face shell, which I didn't want to do because it's a quarter inch plastic sitting on your face. I'm like that. It's just that I'm like, I don't want to spend $200 on something like that when I can just spend $200 on a 3D printer and make one myself.
Ooh, thinking smarter, not harder.
Yeah, a little sneak peek into my future as well.
Yeah.
But anyways, as you can see up there, I've got my Scarecrow, Spider-Man, and then I've got my Mandalorian helmet. For the past 2, going on 3 years now, I have been in the process of making a custom Mandalorian kit, and hopefully I will be showcasing it this year in October at VisionCon up in Springfield. And this has been a beast of a build. I've got some of my gauntlets here right now I can show. This is my left one. These are all 3D printed. I've actually got a hinge on this to make it easy to put on and off, but these are my second gauntlets. The first ones I had were the Boba Fett gauntlets from, I think, Empire Strikes Back. Yeah, that sounds about right. Empire Strikes Back. And I was first getting into the 3D printing community and all that and experimenting with 3D printing off of Etsy and all of this. And I just thought, you know, it's all one size fits all. It is not. Those gauntlets, since I didn't size them to my arms, they were massive.
Oh, really?
Absolutely massive, yeah. And if you look on my Instagram at the photo shoot I did with my original Mandalorian kit, you can see, if you look closely, you're like, oh, wow, those are actually really big.
I think that I recognize that. Like, if I remember the photos, I was like, man, those are really big. But But I mean,
they were big and they were bulky.
The costume looked big and bulky. So it was just kind of like, I mean, it didn't look big and bulky, but like it just looked like BA and just kind of like,
yeah.
And so I thought, oh, wow.
Well, it was. Yeah. It was. But that was my first time experimenting with 3D printing and Centra plastic and plastic forming and all that crazy nonsense that I still don't quite understand. But yeah, these are my second gauntlets. Is the left one. I've got a pretty cool idea I told Lucas about earlier, but I'm not going to say it on the podcast because no spoilers for you guys. You're just going to have to go check out my Instagram in a couple months whenever it's all up there. But I will show off the right gauntlet because it's mostly done. So these are based off of Bo-Katan's gauntlets from The Mandalorian and Star Wars The Clone Wars. This massive string right here is a part of this hidden blade system that I've incorporated into the gauntlet.
Oh,
and
shoot.
Yeah. In the Clone Wars, you can see that, and in the Mandalorian TV show in season 2, you see Bo-Katan has this blade that comes out of her gauntlets. And I was like, I want to do that, but I want to see how can I make it real? This blade that I have in here is a modified Assassin's Creed hidden blade I got off of Etsy for like $50.
Dang.
It's literally a hidden blade
from
Assassin's Creed. And it works perfectly. I wish I got one that was double jointed to where if I did that, like I could flick it out, flick it back in, but that's a conversation for another day. So yeah, that's my Mandalorian is one of the big projects I've been working on right now. I've been completely redoing it from that first build. Everything is different. That's my original helmet, but I looked into buying a new one for the future as well. So there's one of my other projects. Another one I have is sitting right next to me. This one is a beast. For those of you who are listening and not watching, you might want to watch because I got to scoot way back to fit this thing in here.
It looks sick.
It's not even close to being done, but this is the helmet of Ares, the god of war. This one is loosely based off of Ares from the Injustice video game / the Wonder Woman movie. It's actually my second time trying it out. The first time did not go very planned. It wasn't planned out well, and it was really rough. Right now, I've just got the helmet done. You can actually see the back end of it, but in this corner over here, I've got a massive axe. I'm not sure if I've shown Lucas this yet, but...
Oh, dude.
It's not close. It's close to being done. Not quite there. It's also been very on and off.
That is sick.
And this is all made with EVA foam and a box cutter knife.
You would never guess that those aren't complete. I mean, the helmet looks pretty dang complete to me. I mean, there's probably more details and stuff, but that you want to add to it.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of work.
But...
There's a lot of work that needs to be done to it.
I think you could easily wear that to a convention or something, and people would be like, oh, that's so cool. Like, I mean, I know.
Well, they would only be seeing the helmet. They'd only be seeing the helmet and the axe because I don't have anything else done.
Well,
when I say it's a big project, it's a big project. The helmet has taken me 2 or 3 months to get to that point.
Gosh, I bet.
And it's been a process. In front of me on one of my storage shelves, I've got the start of this massive suit of armor for it. He's got this giant shoulder pauldron covered in spikes, and it's layered and bumpy and battle damaged. And yeah, this is going to be huge. He's going to have a massive leather cape. Every inch of my body is going to be covered in some sort of big armor piece. And I'm so excited for it. I am so excited for this one because I started it and then I had to quit because it didn't turn out right, in my opinion. I didn't like it. I wasn't happy with the progress. And so I was like, you know what? Whatever. I'm done with it. I don't want to do this anymore. And then I played God of War Ragnarok, and that inspired me to do it again. Video games will do that to you if you're a cosplayer.
That's just the thing about it. I mean, I feel like that's with any project. I mean, when you're a painter, when you're when you create something, you're gonna have that, oh wow, I'm kind of lost my inspiration for this,
and then something that comes along. A lot.
Yeah,
it'll happen a lot because you'll be spending 2 to 3 months working on this cosplay, this massive suit, or maybe not even massive. It's just the simple bits of it where you're just like, for some reason, I've just hit this creative block. I can't get by it. I'm really frustrated. I'm losing interest.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this anymore, which it sucks. But unfortunately, that happens a lot. I, at one point, stopped working on this Mandalorian costume, and I was like, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm over it. It's too much work. And then out of nowhere, just one day randomly, I was like, okay, I want to do it again. I want to finish it. I'm determined to finish it. And sure enough, a year later, I'm working on it still.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with it.
I think I remember you saying, oh, I'm done with the Mandalorian thing. And I was like, no, you can't be done with it. You keep going. I mean, it wasn't encouraging at all.
Now we're adding light and sound.
Ooh, light and sound.
Yeah. Light and sound.
So I guess that's a good segue to the next topic is, I mean, it's not just for show. Like, you've got the electrical aspects to it with the sound and the lights and with the blade coming out and everything. Mm-hmm. Is that hard to do? I mean, do you just like look up a YouTube video of like how you do this, or like what's your process of that? Mm-hmm.
Well, for me personally, I do not know anything about electronics or circuitry. I don't know any of that at all. And so, yes, I have been watching a lot of YouTube tutorials, and I've got friends on Instagram who cosplay. They're like, this is something that really helped me out. I get tips from them. Like, there's specifically one guy I follow on Instagram. He is known as the Mandalorian on Instagram because his kit is flawless. Dang. He's not like Din Djarin Mandalorian. It's a custom one. But if you look at like the paint job on mine and the paint job of his, you can tell I'm like, I've taken huge inspiration from him. He's got lights, sound, smoke machines. He's built these massive custom blasters that look pulled straight from the movie.
Dang.
Every square inch of his costume is detailed down to like the fibers of the clothing, down to the molecules of the resin printed costume pieces he has.
Dang.
It is flawless. And I've watched his progress over these past few years too. And I'm like, okay, he's really stepped it up, and he gives me a lot of tips and a lot of inspiration. He's given me some YouTube videos and channels to follow when it comes to electronics and sound. And another really good source is YouTube. YouTube has pretty much everything you need to cosplay. One channel I follow specifically on YouTube is a European couple. Their account's called, I think it's pronounced Kamui Cosplay. They do a lot of like anime and video game character builds, but they also do step-by-step tutorials in like electronics. And I know the woman in the relationship, her name's Svetlana, she has books that she has written. They're like 300-page books, I think.
Dang.
Just full of tips and tricks on how to do every single thing in cosplaying. Electronics, smoke machines, lights, foam building, foam sculpting, shaping, painting, weathering, sealing, modeling it all. And it was just a great source for me to get this information from. And I still use them to this day. So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome that they're there and they're willing to help people. Like that they have those resources that they do reach out. I mean, you could have reached out and said, hey, you know, I'm interested in this, and they could have just not responded at all.
Exactly.
So that's awesome.
And
that
it's
they're willing to do
it's,
that.
It's very rare that you will find somebody in the cosplaying community who will not help you.
Yeah.
Everyone I've run into, except for maybe a tiny handful, are super nice. They're super helpful, and they're always, you're always looking out for each other in the cosplaying community, because all the flack you've heard, like, oh, you're a cosplayer, you're weird because you dress up like this, all of that you hear is just not important, because you know the people within this community are so loving and caring and there for each other. Even if like their costume is falling apart, people at conventions will be like, dude, I've got a repair kit in my car, follow me, we'll get this fixed, we'll get you back out there on the floor. It's actually a true story that happened to me at my second convention I ever went to. I had a friend there, his name's Corey. He actually had a booth there where he was selling his artwork, which he's a phenomenal artist. Maybe I'll plug him in one of these episodes someday. I don't know. I was actually cosplaying as my Scarecrow, and my gauntlet started falling apart. And I was like, dude, I don't know what to do. This thing's coming apart at the seams. He's like, dude, I've got a repair kit right here with me, because I'm always afraid mine's going to fall apart. And I was like, are you serious? He's like, I'm dead serious. He pulled out a hot glue gun out of his backpack, and he's like, we're going to get this fixed real quick. And sure enough, 5 minutes later, I was back out on the floor, and you couldn't tell anything was hot glued together. I was like, yes. Dang. Yes, real feel good moment.
That's awesome.
He's a nice dude.
That's cool that they're willing. I mean, I feel like those type of people are naturally like that, though. Like they're willing to help out, and they're just nice,
definitely
nice people. So one of the things that I wanted to bring up was, like how you start. I mean, obviously you've been talking about all the different things that you've been doing, and you know, mainly you've kind of focused on specific weapons or specific, you know, masks, stuff like that, helmets. Is that what you tend to lean to? Because, you know, when you're thinking of a character, there's obviously certain aspects of that character that are pronounced, that are known. So like Spider-Man, obviously, the mask, the suit, Scarecrow, the poison venom, stuff like that. But, you know, a Mandalorian has gadgets. And of course, definitely. Ares has the helmet and the axe and stuff like that. But when it comes down to a character that you want to do you focus primarily on the mask and the helmet or the weapons or mm-hmm. like what's your starting process, I guess? Because I feel like every character in anything has something that it's known for. And I feel mm-hmm. like that's a good place to start, I guess.
So I always start with drawing out a physical sketch of a blueprint, pretty much, of what my mental image of this character is. And so with like Ares, I started out with just a blank human body shape. And I slowly started just adding in the big armor pieces, how I want their shape to look first. And once I get that full physical shape drawn, then I will start adding all the details. And it doesn't have to be a extremely detailed drawing. It doesn't have to be great. I write out a lot of the details. I'll just draw an arrow to this point and be like, lots of spikes and rough edges here, scaled pieces here, leather cape, leather scraps hanging from the belt or something like that. And you don't have to be a great artist by all means. I've worked with people before who I've made costumes with, and I tell them, like, I'm at work right now, so unfortunately I can't help you, but if you want to draw out a quick little sketch and send it to me, we can go from there. And they're like, but I can't draw. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. It does not matter. I want you to do this. It's not for me. It's for you. I want you to draw this out so you can see how it looks in your brain. Because you can imagine something like when I was thinking of Ares, I wanted this massive 6'4" build. And I'm like, but I'm 5'11". I can't do that.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, unless you walk on stilts.
No.
Or lifts. Just get some lifts.
I thought about that, honestly. I wanted to be like, when I was first coming up with Ares, I was like, I want this to be a character that looks down at all the people at the convention. I want him to be this huge brawlic person that everybody's just staring at with like just either joy or fear. So,
well, you know, I think you could actually pull off stilts. I mean,
it's possible, but it wouldn't be very fun. No, it wouldn't be very fun.
But worth it? Maybe not. Who knows?
Yes, probably. Probably. Who knows? I wouldn't know until I actually did it, which I probably won't ever do because I don't have great balance. So.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, the starting points, I start drawing. I will draw out my whole blueprint first. And then I move into which piece I think will be the easiest or the hardest to make. Mm. Because depending on like my availability at the time where I start this, I want to be able to just try to get it done. If it's going to be really hard, great. I want a lot of free time so I can work on it. If it's going to be easy, cool. We'll get it out of the way.
Yeah.
We'll just get it out of the way. That's usually I start with the easiest, but with Ares, for some reason, I started with the hardest part, the helmet.
Yeah.
And I went through trial and error with it, but it's mostly done now, and it looks pretty freaking good. So
it does look good. Yeah, I mean, that is something that is something that you would think, you know, as a cosplayer, they lean more towards, you know, weapons and stuff like that. Like, if you're portraying mm-hmm. Indiana Jones, obviously, the whip or the hat.
The bullwhip, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're focusing on stuff that makes...
You get the iconic pieces.
Exactly, exactly. So
these iconic pieces.
Yeah.
And one other thing that I've heard ever since I got into the cosplaying community, and anytime I've ever talked to somebody where they're like, dude, I want to cosplay, but I'm not creative. Mm. I can't do it because I can't make it. I can't draw. I don't know how to work with foam or paint or anything like that.
Yeah.
And here's the truth behind that. Nobody is good with it if they've never tried it. You will never get good at it unless you do it and you practice it. When I first started working with foam, it was 2020 during quarantine, and I had nothing to do. I graduated high school and I was like, I've got nothing to do. I can't go out and get a job. I've just got this money that I've had saved up. And so I went to Amazon because that's what everybody did during quarantine. You just went on Amazon. You had nothing better to do. And I got foam, big old rolls of foam and a box cutter. I waited 2.5-3 weeks for it to ship in. And when it finally got to my house, I immediately went to YouTube, started working on it. And it was not good at first. It was very bad. I had learned stuff. I'd realized, well, maybe I should have ordered something different instead of this kind of foam. You'll be very confused at first. It's not fun. You have to learn how different materials work with each other, different types of adhesives, glues. I started with very basic knowledge, just contact cement, foam, and a knife. That's what I had. And when I finally hit my last roll of foam, I had constructed my first foam costume piece. It was a custom Sith Lord with my $20 lightsaber from Amazon.
Yeah.
It was my first lightsaber I had, like that lit up and it was RGB. And I was like, cool, let's do it.
Yeah.
So I went with that and I just kept working on stuff. As we got out of quarantine, I started going to my crafting stores more and I would get more materials. I would start experimenting with different types of materials, other ones. And I learned. It's all a learning process. I'm still learning new stuff today, like these electronics that I'm trying to figure out. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's always a learning process and you will hit spots where you're like, I can't do that because I don't know how to do it. You should never say you can't. Just say you don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
That's what I should have said there. But anyways, yeah.
Well, so you've kind of talked a little bit about other people that you know, your friends and stuff like that, but and you've mentioned that you've been to several conventions. I know I'm putting you on the spot here. I don't know if you had time to think about it, but what's the best cosplay that you've seen?
That's a tough one because I've seen some really cool ones. Like I told you earlier, I think it was before we even started the recording this, about the Full Metal custom Mandalorian this guy had at the Vision Con I went to last year. It was phenomenal. And he's like, yeah, this is like halfway done. I don't even have the rest of my stuff with me though.
Oh my gosh.
To show you. And I was like, are you serious? And he had full armor. It was all painted and weathered. It's all metal. Even his helmet. And he's like, yeah, this thing's heavy and it's not very comfortable. And but he's like, but I'm here and I'm loving it. I'm like,
wow,
this guy's dedicated. It was phenomenal. And then, and my first convention, the first Branson Con I went to, this guy dressed up as Jack Nicholson's Joker, but he wasn't Joker. It was Joker wearing like the skin colored makeup.
Ooh.
He had suit. He had the prosthetics. He had his little hat and even had his little spitting flower that he had.
Oh my where gosh. He would
lean forward and, you know, it shot out acid in the movie. This one just squirted water, but it was just a tiny little stream. Oh, and I was like, dude, that's like looking back on it now, I'm like, oh yeah, I could make that. But like back then I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And it was great. He looked awesome and terrifying at the same time. But I loved it. And then I think the number one costume, that's like third, second, and then number one is tied between two different costumes. Now, I'm a huge horror movie fanatic and I love the Predator movies. And a guy came dressed up as the Predator from the first Predator movie, full getup, mask, weapons, armor, everything. Looked like he just jumped right off the screen and I was like just in shock from how it looked. He had stilts too that See? He was walking in. This dude, he's like, yeah, I'm like 5'7", and I was looking up at him. He was like 6'6" with those stilts on. I was like, and I'm standing there in my costume. I'm staring straight up at him. I'm like, this is great. Wow. It looked so good. And that same convention, that same day, this dude had an entire foam created Spawn costume from, like, I think he's Spawn's Marvel, I think. I don't know. I don't really know anything about him, but he had this full suit of armor that he made look straight out of the comics as well. Wow. Of Spawn. And he had the big cape. And he had, like, I don't even know what it was. I'm going to assume really thick wiring sewn into the cape to where it was poseable. And he was standing at his booth. Yeah, he was standing at his booth, and it was just a backdrop behind him. So, because he's like, yeah, people are going to want photos with this. And then off to the side, he had his table of merchandise and other crazy stuff. And that costume was great. Those, the Predator and Spawn, are tied for my first place best one costume I've ever seen. Now, that doesn't mean I haven't seen other good ones out there, because I've seen a lot of great builds and costumes from other people, but those are my technically top three, but four.
Three but
cosplays
four.
Cosplays that I've seen.
Yeah.
Three but four.
I bet it is hard to pick. I mean, so many people have so many things, and, you know, even someone could focus on one thing other than someone else can focus on another thing. So I bet there's a lot of competition out there and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. But... yeah. And most conventions, they'll do, like, costume competitions as well. I haven't gotten to participate in one, unfortunately, because I'm a crazy busy person, and so I don't get to spend all 3 days at this convention, and most of the time I can only go to one day. Yeah. So I try to make the best of it, which sucks, but it's whatever.
Yeah.
And Reed actually got to do it once in a Red Hood cosplay that me and him put together for himself. So I don't know who won that or what he placed in it, if he placed, but he said it was a lot of fun. People cheered, screamed, and clapped for him. He's like, it felt good.
Yeah.
It felt good getting recognized. So
put all that hard work into it.
Yeah, there's that.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. To wrap up, we can just talk about it briefly. We don't have to go into depth or anything about it.
Okay.
But so what is kind of, I mean, cosplay, there's kind of a perception about it, you know, in the average human world and the average everyday person. You know, and you kind of hinted at it a little bit already, you know, talking about the community and the resources and people helping and stuff. But, you know, do you think that it gets a bad rap? Do you think that it gets a good rap? Or is it just kind of hit and miss depending on the crowd that you're with? Because, I mean, I do feel like there is a normal perception of that people have when they think of cosplay, or not even think of cosplay, but just looking at it. And not exactly knowing what it's about. So what do you think about that?
Well, there's definitely been people in my life where when they find out I'm a cosplayer, they think it's weird, and that most of the time it's people who don't like anime or think anime is weird. They automatically assume that you're into anime or that you have a furry costume hiding somewhere. And it's something unusual to them. And they just are like, yeah, you're weird now. We don't like you. But once, like, I've explained, like, I am into, like, Star Wars and Marvel and DC and these horror builds, I'm like, this is what I'm into. I'm not a huge anime person. And so, and I'm not a furry either. Just want to state that.
Right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No. Not right. Not that. No. it really does suck because people automatically assume the worst, and it's just people you thought, like, you were really close with, people your friends, and they're like, oh, you cosplay? Yeah, no, that's weird. And then they just start, like, avoiding you. It does suck because there will be people in your life that do that, and it's kind of heartbreaking because you're like, oh, you're judging me for something you know nothing about. And it sucks, but once I've gotten the opportunity to explain it to them, like, this is what it means to me. This is a creative sort outlet for me. This is a way for me to escape from the real world and just get to focus in on myself and get to do something I love doing without any repercussions. And once I get to explain that to them, it's usually like, oh, well, I'm sorry for judging you and treating you the way that I did. It wasn't very cool. And it's been very rare that somebody's been like, no, you're still weird. Like,
yeah.
When I first got into it, all of my family was like, seriously, this is the hobby you want to do? This is what you want to spend your free time doing? You want to build costume pieces in your room? You want to stay away from the rest of the family? Okay. And they were very judgmental by it at first, but as time has gone by and they've seen me walking around the house wearing costume pieces, testing to see if it's comfortable, if it fits me properly, they're like, okay, actually he's getting pretty good at this. This is really cool. Yeah. And it's just that feeling of recognition. Once again, you're just like, this is a really good feeling. And the cosplaying community, like I said earlier, you very rarely find people who are a part of this, we'll call it toxic community within the cosplaying community, because it doesn't matter what you're into, there's always going to be people who are haters on it.
Yeah.
Like a couple of years ago on TikTok, there was cosplay TikTok. It doesn't really exist anymore because of the toxic cosplaying community on social media. And that's another thing about cosplaying, with doing it with social media, that's where most of the haters are. That's where you're going to find people judging. You won't ever see it, but you know they're there. Yeah, it's just social media is just not a great outlet. But anyways, it's tough at first when you first start hearing everybody judging you and making fun of you for doing something they love. But eventually, most of them will come around and realize this is what they love to do. This is their hobby. This is their way to escape from reality.
Yeah.
Maybe I was too harsh on them.
Yeah.
And yeah, it happens, but after a while you kind of get used to hearing it and you're just like, oh, it's just another person seeking attention because they don't have any. So,
oh, burn. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
all the people out there who hated on me, this is it. This is it. This is my retribution.
Retribution. No, I mean,
retribution.
No, I mean, you have this in anything. I mean, not to plug, you know, a past episode, but we did, me and, my guest talked about kind of Rogue One and, you know, Andor. We did, I think that was the last episode, the true episode. But we also talked about just the Star Wars fandom and everything and just, you know, the fans and how there is that toxicity. And I just said, you know what? There's toxicity in everything. And I absolutely hate it. And I don't get involved in that. I don't go and look at the Facebook polls or the whatever on the new Star Wars show just to think about how this one person, feels about this, you know. And I just don't be involved in that. I don't want to be involved in that. But I could see how that, because, I mean, I think that TV shows, you know, I mean, even if you think of, like, crime shows, you know, where there's a, I mean, every crime show that you watch has an episode where it's at a convention, at a comic convention, and that the murder, it's all like, sometimes they played off as weird, and sometimes they're all like, heck yeah! So,
the murderer is dressed up as Batman.
Yeah. Or the murderer is dressed up as like a unicorn or something, or I don't know, but like, like a mythical beast.
Which that doesn't ever happen. That doesn't really happen at conventions, no.
Oh, yeah.
There's never really a murderer ever disguised in the costume. Yeah. It's very rare you'll ever.
So you think. No, just kidding. Maybe they're just really good. Anyway, so, but yeah, I mean, there is that perception, I feel like. I mean, I obviously don't think that. I think when you told me that you made costumes and stuff like that, I was like, dude, I want to do that. Like, that'd be so cool. I mean, I don't want to, like, spend a crap ton of money on it like you do, but I want to at least, like, I think it'd be really cool to make something. But yeah, that's really awesome that you do that. And I mean, shoot down those judges whenever they, you know, have that. But
oh yeah,
but yeah, that's cool.
That's just
cool.
What you got to do. It's a harsh reality.
It's a harsh reality. But but hopefully, you know, with everything, hopefully with learning new stuff, hopefully with this episode, people watch it and they're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Or that's, you know,
yes,
you know, seeing
please use this episode as inspiration.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
If you're wanting to start cosplaying, do it. What? There's nothing stopping you. Yes, you may think that you're not creative enough and you don't have the skills for it. YouTube has all the skills that you need.
Yeah.
YouTube and TikTok.
Just use YouTube. And TikTok, I guess. TikTok. It's fine.
Just use YouTube. Don't use TikTok. It's not the greatest, but there is some helpful stuff on there.
Or Pinterest. You also said Pinterest.
Yes. Pinterest is a great place to go to for source material because of one thing specifically. Deviant Art. That's a website you will see tons of costumes and good reference photos on. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And Etsy.
And Etsy's a great place to be able to find stuff to buy. That's where I'm getting all of my Mandalorian stuff. So,
yeah.
It's expensive, but Etsy does a super nice thing where you can do payment installments through Klarna, which is really nice because that Mando helmet up there, it was like $250. And I was like, yeah, I'm not dropping $250 on that. What's it divided up? I was like, okay, divide it up. That's actually pretty affordable.
Affordable.
I think I will do that.
And that's how they get you.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
That's how you get it. That's how you get tricked into buying a $200 helmet.
Well, hey, I mean, you know, with something like this that's so detailed and so specific and everything, of course it's going to be expensive. I mean, that's just imagine how much money that guy with the metal Mandalorian suit spent on that.
Oh, I don't even want to know. That hurts my wallet just thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, I mean, you kind of had, you had a strong last thoughts moment there. So that was good. I won't ask you for any last thoughts
because
that was
good.
That was great. But do you have
talking a long time.
Yeah. Do you have anything that you want to share with the group, like where they can find you on your socials and stuff?
I've got three different social media accounts that I use for my cosplaying specifically. My Instagram would be Styx Studios, StyxStudios. Styx Studios. It's all one word. I haven't been super active on any of these lately, just because my life has been crazy busy, and I'll go through these little phases like that where I'll be inactive for like a month or two, and then I come in and I'm like post after post after post after post, and which is kind of annoying. But yeah, that's my Instagram, my TikTok. You'll see some minor cosplaying stuff on there. That is Joey_B1, all lowercase for that one. And then I actually just created a Facebook a few weeks ago, Facebook page called Blackwood Creations. That is just two words. You just spell it exactly how it sounds. So yeah, that's my three social media accounts. Facebook is where you will find like more detailed descriptions of everything that I've built, because TikTok and Instagram have limits on how much you can type.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to type a quick little paragraph and I've got three sentences. I'm like, well, I don't know how to revise that to fit all of it in there. So,
wow.
Yeah. Instagram, you'll find the most of my cosplays on there. TikTok, you'll get to see them kind of in action, I guess. And then Facebook, you'll just see the more detailed descriptions of it all. So,
nice.
Yeah, there's that.
Nice. Yes, go check it out. It's really cool. I try to follow the best that I can as well, just to kind of see what new stuff he's come up with. But no, cosplay is more than just a costume. It is honoring and portraying that character in the highest form. You know, we have all of our favorite characters in books, movies, video games, stuff like that. And we, you know,
and it can be from anything you want.
Yeah, wherever they
can be
come
anything
from.
You want. So, I've seen a dude dress up as Bob Ross.
As what?
I saw a dude dressed up as Bob Ross. Bob Ross. Like, people will cosplay the most random things. Some guy came up dressed up as, I think his name's Marshmallow, the DJ.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of my first conventions I went to. I've seen all kinds of crazy costumes. I've seen Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Oh, my gosh.
That was really funny. Yeah. They were just walking around roasting each other all day. It was hilarious. So, yeah, and you'll see people that you had no idea were cosplayers, and you've known them for years. Like, dude I've gone to church with my whole life came dressed up as Jay and Silent Bob. And his son was dressed up as Sean from Shaun of the Dead. And I was like, I had no idea these guys were cosplayers. And I saw them. I took off my Scarecrow mask and I was like, I didn't know you guys did this. Like, I didn't know you did this. And I've known them like my whole life, but I considered ourselves acquaintances. And after that, I was like, no, we're definitely friends now. We're definitely friends. And sure enough, I still talk to them every now and then. They're great friends of mine. So,
yeah. Well, it's definitely more than just your standard Halloween costume. And no matter how good the Halloween costume is, it's just its own breed. But thank you for being on the show, Joey. Mm-hmm. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. It was a lot of fun, as always.
Of course. But shows come out every 2 weeks on Thursday. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on YouTube, obviously. I'm hoping to get some more stuff on there now that my life isn't so busy. But this will definitely be on there as well. So thanks for listening. Stay safe out there. And remember, you don't care.